إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله. قولوا عليه الصلاة والسلام. أرسله ربه بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. عطروا أفواهكم بالصلاة على رسولنا. الحمد لله الذي أحسن كل شيء خلقه وبدأ خلق الإنسان من طين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ألا وإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. I bear witness that there is none worthy of our worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, is the seal of the prophets and the final messenger to all of humanity. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none to misguide. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads to stray, there is none to guide aright. So inshallah, before we begin our khutbah, I'm going to ask you kindly to move forward because we expect a full house today. And people are standing outside. So move up a little bit, please. جزاكم الله خير. خطبتنا اليوم ستكون عن التدبر في سورة من سور القرآن. وسورة اليوم هي سورة الكهف. يعني وأنا داخل الآن وجدت كثيرا منكم يعني يقرؤون سورة الكهف في الهاتف. في بعض يقرأ سورة الكهف وفي بعض يلعب games. ف that's okay. نتدبر في السورة ونرى ماذا نتعلم من هذه السورة الكريمة. طبعا سورة الكهف كما هو معروف فيها أربع قصص. في قصة أصحاب الكهف، وقصة صاحب الجنتين، وقصة موسى والخضر، وقصة ذي القرنين. أربع قصص. فالخطأ اللي يقع فيه كثير من الناس لما يقرؤون سور القرآن أو القصص القرآني، الله سبحانه وتعالى لما يخاطبك ويقول مثلا افعل كذا او لا تفعل كذا، ويورد القصص لنتعلم منها، في بعض الناس يقول لك القصه لا تخاطبني اصلا، ماليش علاقه موضوع. مثلا الخطاب القراني بيكلم مثلا ابن خالتي او بيكلم واحد ثاني، انما لا يتعلق بي. في حين ان الصحابه رضوان الله عليهم لما كانت ايه تنزل في الحلال او حرام، هو يعرف انها تخاطبه هو مش حد ثاني، ولذلك كانوا يتفاعلون مع سور القران. فهذا يعني سيكون موضوع خطبة اليوم. So today inshallah we will try to forget about the materialistic life of this world, our jobs and everything. We'll focus on one surah from the Quran to see what we can learn from that surah. And the focus today is Surah Kahf. And as I said on the way to the minbar, I've seen a lot of you holding their phones. Most people are reading Surah Kahf and some are playing video games, but that's okay. But don't do that in the khutbah inshallah. So Surah Kahf is very special, and I say why in a minute, inshallah. Some of us do a mistake when we listen to the Quran or the Quranic narratives and the stories in the Quran. We know that Surah Kahf has basically four stories. The story of the youth in the cave, the story of the man, the wealthy man with the two gardens, the story of Musa alayhi salam and the man of knowledge, and the story of the Dhul-Qarnayn and his travels and sacrifices in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention the stories in the Quran so to entertain us. This is not the purpose of the Quran. It's not for entertainment. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is repeating the stories in the Quran so we can learn something from them. They're not only for entertainment. So these stories are mentioned, and there is something we can learn from that. Bismillah ta'ala. Surah Kahf is at the heart of the Quran. When you count the pages from the front and from the back, Surah Kahf is right in the middle. So the Quran basically has 604 pages, so if you count from the front or the back, Surah Kahf is right in the middle. This is the heart of the Quran. طبعاً there are so many hadith that talk about Surah Kahf and the significance and the importance of this surah. There's so many of them. So for example, in one hadith في Tabarani and Nasa'i, other books of hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, من قرأ سورة الكهف أضاء له نور ما بين الجمعتين. In one of these authentic hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, whoever recites Surah Al-Kahf, a light will shine for them until the next Jummah. So this is a whole week. There's another narration that says, أَضَاءَ لَهُ نُورٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامِ. A light will shine for you on the Day of Judgment. And there are some other surahs that talk about نُورُهُمْ يَسْعَى بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ. A light will shine in front of you and to your right on the Day of Judgment. So this light will benefit on the Day of Qiyamah. So basically Surah Kahf is beneficial in dunya and in akhirah. There are some narrations like in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ says, whoever reads the five ayat from the beginning of Surah Kahf, in another narration, the last ayat of Surah Kahf, they will be protected from Dajjal. And the reason is because the first ayat of the surah and the last ayat, they talk about the same thing, the Day of Judgment and the trials and the tribulations before Yawmul Qiyamah. Tayyib. Why is Surah Kahf so important? And what does it have to do with the Day of Judgment and our life in this world? To understand this connection, there is a beautiful hadith in At-Tabarani, in At-Tirmidhi, that explains the whole thing. There are four stories in this surah, and this hadith talks about four things that will be questioned about on the Day of Judgment. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, kama fi At-Tabarani wa At-Tirmidhi, yaqul qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا تزول قدم عبد يوم القيامة حتى يسأل عن أربع عن عمره فيما أفنى وشبابه فيما أبلى وعن ماله من أين اكتسبه وفيما أنفقه والأخيرة عن علمه ماذا عمل فيه. So there is an authentic hadith from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that explains Surah Kahf. In this hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, which is an authentic hadith in At-Tabarani and in At-Tirmidhi, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, in this hadith narrated by Jabir, Mu'adh ibn Jabir radiallahu anhu, your feet will not be moved on the Day of Judgment. In other words, you're not going anywhere on the Day of Judgment until you are questioned about four things. About your life, how you spent your life. About the youth, years of your life. And about your money, how you obtained your money and how you spent it. And number four, about your knowledge. What did you do with your knowledge? And subhanAllah, it's very interesting that these four questions in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ correspond to the four stories in Surah Kahf. It's very interesting. So the question about the youth years of your life correspond to the story of the youth in the cave. And the story about your money, how you gained your money and how you spend your money, corresponds to the story of the man with the two gardens, the wealthy man in the story, in Surah Kahf. And number three, your knowledge, what you did with your knowledge, it corresponds to the story of Musa al-Khidr, the man of knowledge. And your life, how you spent your life, this corresponds to the fourth and the last story in Surah Kahf, Dhul-Qarnayn, and how he spent his life in the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something amazing. And this is why when you read the surah every Friday, every Jummah, now you remember the four tests we have in this life. The youth, years of your life when you are young and healthy, the wealth, the knowledge, and your life, what you do with your life. So this is basically a repeated reminder from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every Jummah, what you need to do with these things to answer for the four questions that we will get on the Day of Judgment. So this is very important. To start with, we have the story of the youth in the cave. So, as the Quran says, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدًى. They were young and healthy, they had faith, and the Quran always talks about the youth. There are so many hadith from the Prophet ﷺ that talk about the youth, like the hadith that say that seven, Allah will shade them on the Day of Judgment when there's no shade except the shade, and one of them, وَشَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ, and so on and so forth. So the hadith and the ayah talk about the youth all the time. Why? Because this is the most important part of your life. This is the prime of your life. When you are young, mashallah, you are carefree, like when you are at the school age, someone is providing for you. Your dad is providing for you. Your mom is taking care of you. She's cooking for you, taking care of you. There's someone who is taking care of you. You're young, you're healthy, you got money because someone has provided for you. So you have all the time in the world to learn and explore and learn and improve yourself. Whereas when you graduate and you start to work, you start to have a family, you'll be pulling your hair off because you don't have time. You are trying to put food on the table, pay the bills, insurance, taxes, 13%, this is like crazy, 13%, man. So you have a lot of financial responsibilities. And sometimes when you hit a certain age, it will become very difficult for you because now you don't have the health, now you don't have the ability to move around and do the things that you could have done when you're young, right? And sometimes you reach a very extreme age where you have to have an appointment with the doctor every day. One day for the ear doctor, one day for the knee doctor, one day for the back doctor. But when you are young and healthy, dynamic, you don't have to worry about all these things. So if you want to memorize something or learn something new or travel around, this is the time. Before you become preoccupied with different things and responsibilities, this is the time. If you want to become hafiz Quran, if you want to learn Arabic, Turkish, Urdu, this is the time. Because once you hit a certain age, it becomes very difficult to memorize things. I know a brother from the Niagara region. We had a tajweed halqa after Fajr. And this brother, sometimes we go to Tim Hortons after Salatul Fajr. We call it the second masjid because we pray Fajr and we go there always. It's like unwritten sunnah to go to Tim Hortons after Fajr over there. So what happened, the brother, we would be talking, very good man, very generous brother, and he starts crying. I said, why are you crying? He said, he's now 70 years old. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him a long and healthy life. I said, why are you crying? Because he said, I'm trying to memorize a surah from the Quran and I can't. Surah Yasin, for example. He says, by the time I finished memorizing the surah, I forgot the beginning of the surah. So he is very sad, he is very emotional when it comes to memorizing Quran. And he said, I wish someone directed me when I was young, like 17 years old, to memorize Quran. But no one did that. This is why he is crying. And I told him, every one of us is gifted in a different way. Someone has a beautiful voice, someone has a good memory, someone has good akhlaq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distributed the gifts to everyone. If you are not gifted with the ability to memorize, Allah will gift you with something else, with akhlaq, for example, or helping the community. If you don't have the ability to memorize Quran, at least read tafsir to understand the Quran and apply it to your life. And on the day of Qiyamah, you will be from the people of the Quran. So it's not a problem. So again, our brain is like the flash drive or the hard disk for your laptop or your phone. It has a certain memory. And when you reach a certain age and your memory is full of different things, there is no more space. So if you add something, it can't go through unless you delete something else. So if you fill your head with rap music and songs, you don't have any memory left in your brain to memorize. Whereas when you are young, your brain is formatted. Mashallah, you can put all the information you need. You have a lot of space inside. So again, this is the best time to invest and learn and do things. The story of the youth in the cave emphasizes a very important thing. The company, a good company. It talks about a company of youth. They ran away from the tyrants to be able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's very interesting. The good company is beneficial in dunya and in akhirah. One day, inshallah, we'll dedicate a whole khutbah about the importance of the good company you have. They keep you on the sirat al-mustaqim. A good example, when, say for example, you're sitting in the masjid and someone comes and they bring candy or bring food and they say, this is for everyone. Even if someone is sitting with them or he or she is not even reading the Quran, they're playing with their phone or counting money, when this person comes and he gives food to everyone, they will get something because they are in that company. And there are so many hadith from the Prophet ﷺ that support this. In the same way, if you are sitting with a bad company, even if you are not doing anything, like say for example, if you are sitting with some guys at an apartment and they are doing drugs, for example, you are not doing anything. You are just there. You are mopping the floor, making tea for them. When the police comes, You are going to jail, even if you are not doing any bad thing, right? But because you are in a bad company, you are counted as one of them. You will go to jail like them, right? And this is how it works as well in good things. When you are in a good company, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you like them. And inshallah, we'll mention some beautiful hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam al-Qurtubi rahimahullah, when he comments on this story in Surah Al-Kahf, he says, look, subhanallah, الله سبحانه وتعالى يقول القرطبي في تفسير: انظر كيف أن الله سبحانه وتعالى أكرم كلبا لأنه كان في صحبة الصالحين وذكره 4 مرات في الصفحة واحدة، وكلبهم باسط ذراعيه بالوسيط، وبعد كده يقول لك فيقولون كذا، ورابعهم كلبهم، خامسهم كلبهم، وسابعهم كلبهم كذا، 4 مرات في نفس الصفحة إن الله تعالى أكرم كلبا لأنه كان في صحبة الصالحين. فيقول القرطبي: ونحن نتأمل أو نرجو من الله أن يكرمنا بصحبة الصالحين وإن لم نكن منهم. So Imam al-Qurtubi, when he comments on this ayah from Surah Kahf, he says, look, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored a dog in Surah Kahf by mentioning the dog charm 4 times in the surah because he was in a good company. The dog was in a good company following good people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored the dog 4 times, same page. And he said, I hope by the fact that we follow good people and righteous people and scholars and maulana, good people, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will honor us like this dog. So this is the understanding of Al-Qurtubi. A good company is beneficial in dunya and akhirah. We'll talk about this more inshallah. The second story is the story of the man with the wealth and how he abused the money and how he was looking down upon the people and he was not giving sadaqah and zakat to the people and so on and so forth. And he was arrogant. He said, أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَأَعَزُّ نَفَرًا. Allah gave him money, he gave him children, and he was arrogant and he was proud of his wealth. And subhanAllah, at the end of the story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ لَهُم مِّن فِئَةٍ يَنصُرُونَهُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. يعني أولاده, his children, they couldn't protect him when the punishment came. And his wealth was destroyed. And subhanAllah, this is a subtle comparison at the beginning of the story. الله سبحانه وتعالى لما يقارن بين صاحب الجنتين والأرض التي يمتلكها، فالله سبحانه وتعالى يقول هذه الأرض أحسن من هذا الرجل، التراب أحسن منه. لماذا؟ لأن الأرض لما تخرج ثمارها وخيرها وكذا لم تظلم منه شيئا، الأرض لم تظلم، عملت ما عليها الوظيفة بتاعتها أنها تخرج الثمار والخيرات للناس. أما الرجل ودخل جنته وهو ظالم لم يؤدي ما عليه من حقوق لله سبحانه وتعالى. So the surah makes a comparison, a subtle comparison between this man and his land. So at the beginning of the story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the land of this man was not zalim because the land fulfilled its obligation. It never fell short of giving produce and khair to the people. But this man, دخل جنته وهو ظالم. When he entered his garden, he was ظالم because he was not fulfilling his obligation like the land. He was not sharing with the people. طبعا العلماء in the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم وماله من أين اكتسبه وفيما أنفقه, they say that the people in this world, Muslim and non-Muslim, they gain their money and they spend it in 4 different ways. الناس يكتسبون أموالهم, يعني الحديث من ماله من أين اكتسبوه وفيما أنفقه, ب4 طرق. اكتسبوه من حلال وأنفقه في الحلال, هذا واحد. اكتسبوه من حرام وأنفقه في الحرام, هذا الثاني. اكتسبوه من حلال وأنفقه في الحرام, هذا الثالث. اكتسبوه من حرام وأنفقه في الحلال, تمام. ونعطي أمثلة. So the scholars, when they speak about how people gain their money and they spend it, they say that everyone in this world, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, they gain their wealth or spend it in 4 different ways. Number one, they gain it from halal and they spend it in halal. So you go to work, you work hard, and you provide for your family or give sadaqah. So you gained it from halal, you spend it in halal. Some people gain it from haram and they spend it in haram. Like say, for example, someone has a liquor store. They gain money from haram and they spend it in haram by buying drugs. They gain it from haram, they sell it, they use it for haram. And the third type, the income is halal, but they use it for haram. Like say someone has a halal job, but they use the money to buy drugs. So they gain it from halal and they spend it in haram. And number four, the source is haram and they spend it in a halal way. And say for example, someone is a drug dealer and they use the money to donate, for example, or give sadaqah. I know a story of someone in a Muslim country. He was a drug dealer. He made a lot of money. He was a millionaire basically. And before he died, he wanted to make tawbah, so he built a masjid for the people. So the people in his town or his city, they knew that he was a chor, he was a thief, or he was a drug dealer. They call his masjid al-masjid al-haram because it came from halal income, so they call it masjid al-haram. Islamically, it's permissible to pray in that masjid. His judgment is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the four different ways how people make the money and how they spend the money. The third type is the knowledge, the story of knowledge. عِلْمَهُ مَاذَا عَمِلَ فِيهِ. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you knowledge of halal and haram. You know that something is haram and you do it. So what did you do with the knowledge? You know that something is halal, you have to do it and you didn't do it. So you didn't fulfill your obligation based on the knowledge. So you need to learn from the story of Musa alayhi salam. So basically, the reason of the story, Musa alayhi salam waqafa khatiban fi bani Israel. مسألة العلم علمه من أين علمه ماذا عمل فيه. حديث في البخاري يشرح سبب القصة اختصارا. وقف موسى عليه السلام خطيبا في بني إسرائيل، فبعد أن فرغ من الخطبة وكان يعني فصيحا متكلما، والله سبحانه وتعالى ألهمه العلم، فقال له رجل بعد الخطبة: من أعلم أهل الأرض؟ فقال موسى عليه السلام: أنا، لأنه هو نبي، تمام، فظن أنه أعلم أهل الأرض، فالله سبحانه وتعالى عاتبه وقال له: إن فلانا أعلم منك، اللي هو الخضر، فاذهب وتعلم منه. So the reason of the story في سورة الكهف موسى الخضر is mentioned in Sahih Bukhari. موسى عليه السلام was giving a khutbah one day and someone in the audience was so overwhelmed because of the beautiful speech that موسى عليه السلام gave. So the man came to him and said, Imam Sa'd, موسى عليه السلام, who is the most knowledgeable person in this world? And the hadith is in Bukhari. So Musa alayhi salam said, well, that would be me. Because he was the prophet of the time. So he thought that he was the prophet. He was the most knowledgeable. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Musa alayhi salam, ya Musa, you shouldn't have said that before receiving a revelation from me. In fact, there is someone who is more knowledgeable than you. You need to go out and learn from him. And you know the rest of the story, when they met, the wall incident, the boy incident, the ship incident, and so on and so forth. And Musa alayhi salam was learning from the man. And two things we learn from the story before we move on. قَالَ سَتَجِدُونِي إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ صَابِرًا وَلَا أَعْصِي لَكَ أَمْرًا. Musa alayhi salam said, for me to learn from you, two things I will do. I'll be patient and I will never disobey you. So if you want to learn something, you have to be very, very patient because it takes time. And you have to humble yourself. And this is why يقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم اثنان لا يتعلمان في نوع من الناس لا يتعلمون شيئا متكبر ومستحي. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said two types of people will never learn anything. Those who are arrogant to learn, how can I sit under someone's feet to learn? They're arrogant. And someone who is shy, they're always shy to ask. So they have a very good legitimate question, but they are shy to ask. They will never learn. So we have to have the courage to ask. There is no stupid or silly question in Islam. You can ask all the questions in the world. Even if you ask about jinn, if they give birth or lay eggs, that's okay. I will try to give you the answer. Yeah, my blood pressure will go up, but I'll give you the answer. Alhamdulillah. So don't be shy to ask questions. This is the way to learn. Be patient and I will never disobey you. To conclude this story, because we're running out of time, maybe we'll do another session, inshallah. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, kana saghiran, and he was around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was 7-8 years old, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him, and he made dua for him. Allahumma faqihu fi ddeen wa alimhu ta'wil. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for Abdullah ibn Abbas. Ya Allah, give him a good understanding, and give him the ability to make interpretation and proper understanding. So يقول ابن عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنه في الدارمي, when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم died, I was 13. He was 13 years old. So he said, when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم died, ذهبت لرجل من الأنصار فقلت له هيا بنا نتعلم العلم. So when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم died and I was 13, I went to a man from Al-Ansar and I said, let's go learn the knowledge of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم before people forget. فقال الرجل من الأنصار يا ابن عباس يعني أتظن أن الناس يفتقرون إليك. So the man said, who do you think you are? This is what the old man said to Abdullah ibn Abbas when he was 13. He said, do you think people will need your knowledge? The Sahaba are all over the place. No one will care about your knowledge. No one will listen to you. فأقول ابن عباس والله I started to learn and I go to people's homes to learn from them and if they are asleep nap they take a short nap after dhuhr I would sleep in front of their door and the dust was blowing in my face and the person would come out and said يا ابن عباس يرحمك الله you should if you invited me I would come to your house to teach you because of your relationship with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم so I said no أنت يعني أحق أن يؤتى. If you have the knowledge, I have to come to you. You don't come to teach me, I come to you. Then the Ansari, the man from Ansar, he was passing one day in Medina. He became very old, of course. And he saw Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu teaching in the masjid. And there are hundreds or thousands of people. Some of them were Sahaba. They sit under the feet of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu to learn from him. فقال الرجل والله لقد كان هذا الغلام يعني أذكى مني. So the man said, Wallahi, this little boy Ibn Abbas, when he was young, 13 years old, he was smarter than me. Now people need his knowledge and they go and sit under his feet. I have no knowledge because I didn't do the effort like him to learn and everyone needs his knowledge, including some of the Sahaba. There is not a book of tafsir this day that does not have statements from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma to explain the Quran. This is because of the barakah of knowledge. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best in this life and the best in the life to come. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah ahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasooluhu arsalahu rabbuhu rahmatil alameen. I'm going to ask you kindly another time to move up a little bit because the people are standing outside. We got only 1 minute inshallah. The last story in the Surah Al-Kahf is the story of the Qarnayn, his life and travels in the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one thing we learned from his story, volunteerism. Like he was volunteering. In Surah Kahf, when he was doing things to help people who couldn't help themselves, building the dam or the wall, and people offered him money, I said, no, I do it fi sabilillah. Volunteering in the community. This is a way of saying, Alhamdulillah, thank you Allah for whatever you have given me. I'm going to give some money or some time to serve the community and serve people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you even more. What is the point if Allah give you money, give you health, and give you time, and you don't help other people? You can say Alhamdulillah your whole life, but you will make a big difference if you use some of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you to help and benefit humanity. This is the best way to say thank you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He's teaching Ala Dawood to serve people and to say thank you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, اِعْمَلُوا Ala Dawood shukra. Work righteousness in gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to say thank you Allah, you have to help someone. You have to contribute and donate and serve the community. This is the best way to say thank you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that I conclude. Quick announcement before the Salah, inshallah. I announced a couple of weeks ago about this sponsorship program for the Main Gate Islamic Academy. If you came from the front, you probably have seen the big sign. Alhamdulillah, we're trying to update the school, upgrade the school, and maybe expand the school. So the school will be in a better shape, inshallah. The school has a dedicated team of staff and teachers and principal and staff, alhamdulillah. And they deserve to be in a better place and to make it to the next level. And the best way to help them, inshallah, improve is if you sponsor a classroom. If you pay $2,000 a month for 1 year, you get 6 things. Number one, you will get a classroom named after you or your family or parents. So the classroom will be known, and instead of grade 2, it will be Brother Muhammad Khan, for example, or Brother Akram, for example. This is the classroom. And you'll get a tax receipt for the whole amount. And a salah spot in the front here will be reserved for you as a sadaqah jariyah for you and your family. Your name will be put in the wall of honor at the entrance of the masjid. And your business will be advertised for free at our facilities here. And number 6, and finally, the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Initially, we had 10 classrooms, the gym, and the library. 6 classrooms are gone by now. And one student even came forward and he offered to buy one or sponsor one to pay $25,000. I know he goes to school, he has a lot of responsibilities, and I said, inshallah, we can find someone who can pay the whole amount because you still have a lot of financial responsibilities, but inshallah, we'll find someone who who will take care of that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the reward for your niyyah. Allah will give you the reward for your niyyah. So 6 classrooms are gone, 6 are left. If you are willing, you are interested, you can come forward. I have the pledge forms. If you don't have the financial ability to pay $2,000 a month for 1 year, maybe you know a brother or two, or a sister or two who have the financial ability and they can do that and give this honor. So inshallah, Allah will give you the reward for connecting us with them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best in this life and the best in the life to come, and to guide our steps to what is beneficial to Islam and Muslims, and to give izzah to Islam and Muslims, ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa salli allahumma ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa aqim as-salat.